Chapter 28. I rushed over to the cage and yanked on the door, but it wouldn't budge.
Cass, I need you!
I stared at the brown male on the ground. I could see the brief rise and fall of his chest, and a small sense of relief washed over me. He was still alive. There was still a chance we could save him.
Rath?
Cass panted as she ran over to me.
What's wrong?
He's injured, I informed her with a point. I can't open the cage. There's some sort of enchantment on it.
Right.
The strawberry blonde nodded and pulled out her spellbook. It only took her a few seconds to find the right spell, but every instant that passed was torture to me.
Got it.
Asta and Cass linked hands and began the spell, while I continued to watch the old dragon through the bars of his cage. I focused on his emotions and found them faint and dreamlike. He was in pain, and he was tired. Reality felt distant and foggy, like he was in a haze. Oh, the poor creature was obviously fragile from blood loss.
Done!
Cass said, and I immediately yanked on the handle of the cage. The metal bars gave in, and the cage door opened. Then I ran over to where Ufe sat next to the dragon's head. You're going to be okay, I told the brown beast as I stroked his head.
He was hit by a dagger,
Cass said, and I nodded to Ufe to stay with him before I rushed over to where the strawberry blonde sat near the dragon's stomach.
Bastard!
Ira gritted her teeth as she stared at the blade.
One of the assholes I was up against tried to throw his weapon. He missed me and I assumed he hit nothing because he was such a bad shot. It seems I was wrong.
Ira took a deep breath and looked down, but before she did, I could see the mist in her eyes. She clearly blamed herself for what had happened, even though it wasn't her fault.
We're going to heal him. Don't worry. How can I help?
Asta asked as she knelt down next to Cass. Inga sat on the elf girl's shoulders, and she peered down at the wound with a little frown on her scaly lips. A dagger was still protruding from the dragon's side, just above his stomach near his ribs. Blood slowly flowed from the wound down to the ground, and the large puddle that was already there made my heart rate accelerate once more. Still, if anybody could fix him, it was Cass.
Put your hand here,
Cass directed. She and Asta placed their open palms on either side of the dagger, and then Cass closed her eyes and began to murmur something in the old language. Asta joined in the second time, and a few seconds later there was a swirl of red and silver magic around the dagger. The blade glowed with the power of their magic, and slowly, without anyone touching it, the dagger began to remove itself from the dragon's flesh. It was agonizing to watch the blade slowly pull itself from the large male, but after a moment it fell to the ground with a loud thud.
Now, put your hands here,
Cass instructed as she moved Asta's hands to cover the wound.
What do we do now?
Yes, I nodded fervently. How can we assist?
I need to sew him up so I can put some salve on him,
Cass murmured as she looked through her bottomless satchel.
Sew him up?
Ira asked with wide eyes.
Can a needle get through his scales? I have a special needle,
Cass explained as she pulled out a needle and thread from her satchel and cut a long piece to use. My heart pounded as I watched the strawberry blonde sorceress work on the large male dragon. He was still in pain, but now there was a sense of calm that surrounded him. He was happy to know there were people who cared for him and were trying to help him. I glanced back over to the dragon's head to see Ufe was curled up next to him, and at some point Blar and Inga had joined him as well. I wasn't sure when the little dragons had made their way over there, but I was glad they had. The old dragon could use all the reassurance we could give him. I wasn't about to let him die, not after everything we'd been through. These assholes weren't going to win. They would never lay a finger on another dragon, ever. We'd made sure of that.
He's going to be okay, right?
Ira asked quietly, while Cass pulled the thread through the dragon's scaly skin.
He'll be fine as long as we get this healed,
Cass answered, without looking up from her task.
He's lost a lot of blood.
The redhead nodded and set her hand softly on the dragon's leg. I'd never seen Ira appear so vulnerable, but she looked like she was about to cry, and I watched her chest rise and fall quickly as she tried to hold back the tears. Over the past few days, I'd seen a side of Ira I'd never had before, and it was beautiful. The warband leader was a big softy under her tough exterior. Since Kaas was working, and there was nothing I could do to assist at the moment, I walked over to where the baby dragon sat, pressed up against the large male's head. Then I sat cross-legged on the ground next to them, and put my hand on the dragon's forehead. His brown scales were soft to the touch, like velvet, and I stroked his head gently as I closed my eyes and tried to connect with him. I felt his emotions first. He was still in pain, but it was better now that the dagger had been removed, so I focused on pushing his feelings to the side and replacing them with my own. I sent him feelings of love and happiness, and I tried to make him feel as comfortable as possible. I still couldn't believe anybody would do this to another living creature. I opened my eyes for a brief moment and looked at the other dragons in their cages. Each of them looked at us with eyes that shone with emotion. They may not have known each other before they'd arrived here, but I knew they cared for one another. "He'll be okay," I said quietly, but I knew they could hear me.
"Rath,"
Kaas said as she walked over to me.
"I finished the healing process."
"He's all closed up?"
"Yes."
She nodded.
"It will still be sore for a while, but it is as healed as I could manage."
"Thank you, Kaas," I said, and I reached up and grabbed her hand, then Asta's too. "And you too, Asta. Thank you both."
"There's no need to thank us. We wanted to help. Why isn't he getting up?"
Ira asked, and her voice cracked a little bit with emotion.
"I don't know."
Kaas shook her head and pursed her lips.
"Rath, can you see what he's feeling?"
"He's tired," I said as I tapped into the old dragon's emotions.
"You should get him up,"
Kaas told me, and the worried look on her face became even more prominent.
"Just so we know he's okay."
"I'll try," I said, and I turned to look at the great brown dragon's face. "I'm Rath. You're okay now. Can you open your eyes for me?" A few seconds went by, and nothing happened, but I knew he could hear me.
"Rath!"
Ira's voice was high-pitched and filled with barely restrained emotion.
"Make him get up!"
I held a hand up to steady the warband leader, and then I leaned in closer to the dragon and placed my forehead against his. "I need you to get up," I whispered. I stayed there for a few seconds and listened to the faint sound of his breathing. And then I heard Asta gasp behind me.
"Rath!"
I pulled back and saw the brown dragon had opened his eyes. The bright orange and gold iris looked at me, and he let out a small huff and lightly nuzzled the babies near his head. I could feel it had been a long time since he'd been around babies. It made him happy, but sad all at once. I could only imagine the anguish the poor creature had gone through, seeing his babies being traded and sold over and over again.
"Odin!"
Ira breathed an audible sigh of relief, and her hand clutched her chest.
"Ira, you seem very upset. Aren't you?" "Well, of course,"
the elf girl nodded.
"It's just that you've been in so many battles, I figured you would be unfazed by the horrors of them." "I am, most of the time."
Ira sighed and watched the brown dragon nuzzle Blar and the twins.
"But this was different. I'm sure most of the time you fight it's for Asgard, which is wonderful, but it's not the same as fighting for the dragons." "It's not. When I fight for Asgard, I'm following Odin's orders. Now I'm following my sense of morality. It feels good to take on a worthy cause and be able to do something about it."
I smiled and set my hand on Ira's shoulder. I knew what she meant. In the warband, we fought based on what Odin considered to be right or wrong, and recently I'd found his judgment to be far from adequate. Here, we fought because we knew in our hearts it was the right thing to do. The brown dragon caught my eye then, and his orange and golden gaze lowered as he bowed his head to thank me. "We're going to get you out of here," I told him as I reached out and touched his face with my palm. Then I looked around at all the other dragons in the room. "We're going to get all of you out of here."
"How are we going to get the larger dragons back to the valley?"
Asta asked, and her white eyebrows pinched together with concern. I thought for a moment. I figured they would simply fly there, but it could be dangerous, especially since we didn't know where any other dealers were located. Blah ran over to me then, and he put his front paws on my knee as his blue eyes locked onto mine. "Do you think you can make a portal that large?"
"Oh, Blar,"
Kaas said with a small frown.
"That's a lot of work."
The little blue dragon didn't look away from me. Instead, he held my gaze and narrowed his eyes, so I knew he was serious. "All right," I nodded. "We'll try." Kaas was right. That would be a large amount of effort for the little dragon, but if he felt he could do it, I wouldn't crush his spirit. I had faith in him. And even if he wasn't able to make one large enough, we would find another way to get the dragons home. It didn't hurt to try. With the shape the brown dragon was in, though, if we could get him home without too much effort, that would be ideal. Kaas said he would still be sore for some time, and even if that wasn't the case, he'd been inside his cage for years. I had no idea what kind of havoc that wreaked on his body, but I figured his muscles were probably atrophied to some degree. He needed to take things slowly, which was why we needed to get him back to the valley. The dragons there would be able to keep him safe, especially since we'd found the dealer who seemed to be supplying the herbs that put them to sleep. "The herbs," I said with a point. "We need to get rid of them."
"Normally I'd say burn them."
Kaas pursed her lips.
"But I suppose that won't work now."
I suppose not.
"We could bury them,"
Asta suggested, then she frowned.
"Oh, but then they would simply grow in the ground. Can't you magically destroy them somehow? I was just thinking the same thing,"
Kaas said, and she picked her spellbook up off the ground.
"There's got to be fun in here somewhere."
I was sure there were others out there with some of the leaves left, like the guards at the Elf King's castle, but at least now we knew we got rid of one of the main sources. The amount of leaves from the plants here could have put half the valley to sleep, and I shuddered to think of all the babies they'd stolen using the nasty herb. If Asta was right, though, and the herb didn't come from Alfheim, then we needed to figure out where it originated from.
"Got it!"
"Good," I nodded. "I need you to remove the enchantments on the rest of the cages. Then you and Asta can destroy the plants."
"All right,"
the strawberry blonde agreed. I patted the brown dragon one more time before I stood up and walked out of the cage. Every dragon's eyes were on me, so I looked at each of them before I spoke. "I'm Wrath. You probably already know what's going on here, but I just wanted to assure you that we're going to get you home today. My friend is going to remove the enchantments on your cages, and then we're going to let you out." The red female stepped forward before she nodded to the baby dragons. I glanced to the wall where they were kept, and I saw a small red male and a pink female both looking toward her. "They're yours?" I asked, and the female nodded. Her white eyes pierced into mine, and though she hid it well on the outside, I felt a relief that the boss was dead, and her heart-wrenching desire to be with her babies again. I walked over to the babies' cages and set those two free first. They ran over to their mother, and the red female let out a small, happy roar as her babies jumped on her head and nuzzled against her. Even if the enchantment prevented me from opening the cages, other things could easily get inside. I doubted that was something the boss had thought about preventing when he put the enchantments into place. After that, I released all the babies. Or at the very least, I opened their cages. They didn't have the same enchantment as the big ones, presumably because nobody was worried about the babies breaking out and destroying everything in a matter of seconds. Still, some of the babies were scared, and they chose to stay inside their cages. The red mother called playfully to the babies, and most of the ones that had left their cages went to her and played with her babies. I caught the red mother's eye and smiled at her while Kaas worked on opening her cage. A giant, ancient creature didn't have to play mother to all the babies here, but she'd chosen to do so, and I thought it was incredibly kind of her. That was reassurance the dragons would be taken care of once we got them back to the valley. Even if they hadn't started out as pack animals, they were intelligent, and with the abductions going on, it made sense to stay close to one another. They wouldn't go on for much longer, though. I'd make sure of that. It didn't take Cass too long until she and Asta had the first cage door open, and they moved on to the next one while I set the red dragon free. Ira stood next to me, and I heard her shallow breathing and saw her chest rise and fall quickly as the female walked past us and out of the building. I knew the warband leader's heart must have been beating hard inside her chest. She'd been around a lot of baby dragons the past couple of days, and she'd been in the cage with the brown dragon, but this was different. Babies were small and adorable, and the brown dragon had been injured and laying down, so he wasn't the grandiose creature he could have been. Even the silver dragon we'd saved hadn't appeared as large and dominating as the red female. Ira was experiencing the ultimate power of the dragons for the first time, and it was a spectacular sight. The redhead's jaw was slightly agape as her eyes took in the beautiful red of the dragon's scales.
She's beautiful. They're so magnificent, aren't they?
They are. I smiled and nodded.
Thank you,
she said, and she turned to look at me with sparkling green eyes. For what? I asked, and my brow furrowed. You're the one who came to help us.
Thank you for allowing me to come. This has been the most amazing experience of my life. I've always loved dragons, and I've gotten some eggs over the past few years for the council, but this...
She gestured all round.
This is incredible. I'm fortunate to be part of such an important endeavor.
I'm glad you're here, I told her sincerely, and I put my hand on her cheek and leaned forward to kiss her softly. Cass and Asta worked quickly to take the enchantments off all the cages, and soon enough all the dragons were free. Even the old brown dragon made his way outside with the others. After all the dragons were free, we went through the barn to see if we could find anything useful. Then Ira and I worked on getting everything into the cart. We managed to find some coins, though not as many as we'd found in the other cart, some elven bread and wine, and we took all the weapons and jewelry we could find as well. We also made sure to take a swatch of hair from each man, in case we needed to disguise ourselves as one of them at some point in the future. And, whether or not Blah could make us a portal, we needed to make sure we had everything ready to go. I didn't want to leave anything valuable behind. It wasn't long before Cass and Asta finished destroying the herbs and came to join us, and after we got everything loaded up, I stepped out of the cart and watched the dragons for a moment. The purple twin females laid next to each other, and one had her neck laid across the top of the other's back. They'd obviously missed being next to each other, and I thought about how Inga and Ufe would feel if they were ever separated. They weren't very much alike, but they were still twins, and they loved each other, so it must have been torture for the two purple dragons to have been apart. The two males, the emerald-green one and the golden-colored one, both sat near each other on the opposite side of the road as the females. I believe they wanted to give the girls some space, and they probably needed some for themselves as well. The red female sat near the purple females and watched the babies play. Most of the infants had recuperated quickly since they were so young. They'd been scared, but everything was fine now, and they were babies, so they didn't have to worry about the trauma the adults had been through. Blah, Inga, and Ufe were in the fray of babies that played in the center of the dirt road that led up to the barn the dragons had been kept in. The babies all flew around and tackled each other, rolled on the ground, and made little growling and grunting noises as they did so. The old brown dragon sat near the males and lay down so he could watch the babies play. I knew he was still tired and probably sore, too, but he was happy to see the children out of their cages.
It looks like everything's ready,
Cass said as she came out of the cart with the rest of the girls. Great, I nodded. Now we need to get these dragons back home.
Yes,
Asta smiled softly as she looked out at the dragons.
I'm glad they're free now.
So am I told her with a smile. I let the babies play for another moment, and then I called Blar over to me so we could get started on the portal. Ready? I asked the little blue dragon as he ran over and climbed into my lap. He narrowed his eyes and nodded. Okay. Whenever you're ready, don't push yourself too hard, though. If it gets to be too much, we can always find another way. The little blue lizard rolled his eyes and jumped off my lap. Then he leapt into the air and held his body steady as he focused on creating a portal to the valley. A small, familiar circle of air appeared in front of him, and it grew larger and larger until it was big enough for the girls and I to fit through. For a moment, I thought that might be as large as he would be able to make it, but the portal continued to grow. I watched in amazement as the swirl of air became 20 feet tall and just as wide. A fully grown dragon could easily fit inside, and a proud smile came onto my face. Great job, buddy! I hollered, and Blar came back down and smiled at me as he landed on my shoulder. The red female looked at me, and I nodded to the portal. This will take you home. Follow us. I didn't think Blar had fully mastered his teleportation ability yet, but this portal he'd made seemed to prove me wrong. It was huge, and even though he was on my shoulder, it still held up just fine. The girls and I climbed onto the cart, and I waved for the dragons to follow us as we went through. I'd never driven a cart into a portal before, but today had been full of plenty of firsts, and I didn't think one more would hurt. The familiar rush of the wind hit me as we went through the portal, but a second later we came out on the other side. Blar's portals didn't always lead us exactly where we wanted to go, but as I looked over the top of Dragon Valley, I was impressed. After we made it through, the red female dragon was next, and she and her babies flew through the portal and down into the valley. The rest of the dragons followed suit, and last to come through was the old brown male. The ancient beast stopped for a moment, and as I laid my hand on his head, I felt his gratitude. He felt safe for the first time in a long time. Go, I told him with a smile. Find your family. The brown dragon nodded to me, and then he took a step forward and narrowed his eyes as he spread his wings. A second later, he lifted off the ground and dove down into the valley. It was the first time he'd flown in ages, and I took in the feeling of his exhilaration as if it were my own.
They're all home now.
Asta smiled at me.
Not quite all of them. Look.
I followed the redhead's eyeline and looked behind us. There was a baby yellow dragon who'd just come through the portal. Only it wasn't flying down to the valley like the others, and its vibrant pink eyes were terrified as it looked around anxiously. Hey, I said softly, and I walked up to the small creature and bent down. You don't have to be scared anymore. You're home. You can go find your family. The little yellow female lowered its head. I frowned and reached out to gently place my hand on its back. I sensed her sadness and how lost she felt. And I realized her mother must have died because she felt all alone.
Is it all right?
Asta asked as she leaned down to get a better look at the little dragon. Her mother is gone.
You mean...
Cass's voice trailed off as I nodded.
Oh, you poor thing. What do we do with her?
I thought for a moment. There was nothing I could do, except to take care of her myself. I wasn't going to send her down into the valley if she didn't want to go. She didn't have any mother to care for her, and while I was sure one of the females would take her in, I got the sense she was too terrified to go down there on her own. Blah scurried over to me and looked at me with large, pleading blue eyes. I smiled and patted the little dragon on the head before I turned back to the little yellow girl. Would you come home with us? I asked. She looked up at me with shiny pink eyes, and she let out a little cooing sound before she nuzzled against my hand. Oh, I think that's a yes.
Oh, good.
Asta smiled and Inga jumped off her shoulder to sniff the small female. Ufe came over as well, and the four of them sniffed and rubbed against each other in greeting. The little yellow dragon was about half the size of Inga and Ufe, which meant she was newly hatched. The poor creature had barely made it into the world, and she'd already lost her mother. I wouldn't let that define her, though. She was welcome to join our group of misfits. And with another dragon by my side, I'd become that much more powerful, and that much closer to accomplishing all my goals.
Hi, sweet girl.
Ira said, as she leaned down and held out her hand for the dragon.
Aren't you beautiful?
The yellow dragon preened and sniffed Ira's hand.
And now she's home.
Asta grinned.
Now we just have to get all the other captured and terrified dragons out there home.
Kaas said, and she bit her lip nervously. We'll get them here, I told her. I meant what I said. There were bound to be other dealers, not just in this realm, but in the other realms as well. I didn't care, though. I'd go to the ends of the earth for my dragons. I stared down into the valley filled with dragons of all different colors and sizes, and I let their contentment, excitement, love, sadness, and fear all wash over me. They would all be home soon. I'd make sure of it. End of Book 2.